everybody thinks, oh, we're in the winter of agriculture. Through the winter of agriculture creates the spring of agriculture with, you know, some of these other opportunities, but it requires someone to kind of think about the big picture, but then bring it down to their specific opportunity.
Welcome to In the Driver's Seat, a podcast on managing financial risk in your grain operation, brought to you by ABM.
Hello, Holly Donato back with you.
And I'm Justin Newman, Integration Manager in the Mid-South region.
Justin, the big question, as you know, that we're taking up today is business IQ. What are the little things producers can do just 5% better to keep your family farm healthy every year? And we're going to hear from economist David Cole. I understand you know him, or you've at least heard him.
Yes, ma'am. I've actually had the opportunity to listen to Dr. Cole a couple different times at a couple different conferences, and I love listening to him. Very futuristic thinking and actionable back to the farm. So just really enjoy listening to his comments.
I was really fortunate to hear him at the recent Farm Futures Business Summit in Iowa and to talk with him actually before his speech, the evening before he spoke. And we did talk about this message of being a little bit better in many areas. And so we'll listen to him and then let's come back and talk about practical application, how farmers can put that principle into action.
That sounds great.
So let's go to that interview and we'll be back soon. I'm at the Farm Futures Business Summit in 2019 here in Iowa with one of the keynote presenters, and he is Dr. David Cole, a well-known ag economist, teacher, speaker, and author. He's addressing farmers here on taking care of business, which is super relevant, especially today. Dr. Cole is a retired professor of ag economics at Virginia Tech and has conducted more than 6,000 workshops or seminars for farmers or ag interests, plus authored 1,500 ag-related journal articles. Thanks so much for devoting your time. Did you grow up in farming? I'll have to start about your impetus for getting into your profession.
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, I grew up on a dairy farm in upstate New York, a small dairy farm, and still involved with farming. We have a dairy creamery in Virginia where we sell milk in 12 states and 356 stores. So my lineage from that dairy farm in New York State is now the dairy farm in Virginia.
Okay, so tomorrow you're going to be talking about this agricultural reset that we're in and what that demands of farmers. What do you mean by a reset?
Well, it's, you know, you take that period 2007 to 2012, it was called the commodity super cycle, and we've only seen that three other times since 1910. Well, what's happened after those strong prices? We've gone into an era of low margin, extreme volatility. And it's going to be a period of what I would call base hits, small accomplishments rather than the home runs. And so this agriculture reset's been going on 6 or 7 years. Fortunately, we haven't had a crash like we did in the 1980s. Why? Because the land values have maintained their value. And so some producers who have been reactive or kind of indifferent have been able to do 1, 2, or 3 refinances, that is, taking their operating losses and putting them out onto term debt, while other producers are making incremental adjustments in this reset, and they're actually becoming better managers.
I have to ask, is there opportunity that we're not recognizing?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you know, a young farmer group asked me, well, you know, what are some of the opportunities? Well, one of the things is it's not one size fits all. We see some of these niche markets popping up. We also, you can acquire assets, whether it's machinery or livestock, maybe 60 cents on a dollar compared to 5 or 6 years ago. There's a lot of programs out there for young farmers, for example, finance programs, educational programs, to help them become better managers. And so when we start looking at these opportunities, everybody thinks, oh, we're in the winter of agriculture. Through the winter of agriculture creates the spring of agriculture with, you know, some of these other opportunities, but it requires someone to kind of think about the big picture, but then bring it down to their specific opportunity.
I see in your charts that we've gone from, is it $125,000 median income on the farm to $35,000? Yeah. And is that across the board? Is that not accounting for the growth of corporate farms? Put that in perspective.
Yeah, that's based off FinBin data. It's in 22 states, 8,000 farms. I like that data, nothing against the USDA. And so I like to look at that data because that data tells me trends before USDA data will pick up in 2 or 3 years. And what you had seen during that super cycle, the median income, and I rounded those numbers off, was 125. Even the run-up to the super cycle, it was still 50, 54. Now we're at 35. And when I'm addressing ag groups, they'd say, well, that's gloom and doom. No. What it means is the better manager with that high business IQ will get a bigger share of a smaller pie.
So that's a good hinge into what separates that top 20% of producers from the middle and certainly the bottom.
Well, that's a very good question, and it's basically this. It's called the little bit better principle. They're a little bit better in production. What does that mean on the crop side? 5 to 10 bushels holding their cost under control. Or on the livestock, it's getting that extra pound of meat or milk, holding your cost under control. Second thing is they're a little bit better marketers. And whether they're into commodity marketing or value-added marketing, they know how to get that extra few cents per bushel or get that extra, cents per unit, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things that we really find is that they're a little bit better on cost control. And one of the things is, it was coined by Dr. Danny Kleinfelder down at Texas A&M, it's called the 5% rule. They're 5% better in a lot of little areas in cost control. And then the real one that we see, and we've heard it here at the Farm Futures Conference, capital efficiency. In other words, they know how to get the most out of their fixed assets, whether it's machinery, equipment, land, but human labor. And I'm going to tell you, some of the laziest assets on farm and ranch businesses are sometimes family members that have not been held accountable.
I heard some efficiencies, and you probably did too, through collaboration. Did you see hear the presentation about sharing labor, sharing equipment? Is that kind of creative thinking a part of the wave?
Absolutely. And one of the things is I was in Nebraska before Christmas, and one of the producers there, there was actually four of them all joined together. And one of them had marketing expertise and had a passion for that. So that individual does the marketing. And, they hired an advisory service as a coach, okay? The other one was very good in machinery mechanics. So he basically handles that. One of the wives was a CEO type. So she basically held up all the planning and, doing all that. And the other one, he was basically a rover. In other words, he was good in a lot of little areas. You know what they were able to do? They were able to lower their fixed cost as much as 20 to 30%. And again, they were a little bit better in all of these other areas by taking what? Instead of being independent, they were interdependent. In other words, that's a term that I think is going to be very applicable in 2020 and 2030, being interdependent, being able to collaborate and form alliances with people.
So those are strategies. What about personal business skills and IQ?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was listening to sports talk radio coming over here, and they'll talk, and I play basketball. This person's got a high basketball IQ or a high football IQ, et cetera. Sports is very transcending over into business. And I really feel that high business IQ, you can't be an expert in every little area, but being able, for example, some of the farms are hiring CFO, and I say that's fine, but is that CFO communicating? Are you in there interacting with that CFO so that you know what is going on in that business? Because as these businesses get bigger, they have more zeros and more commas. And you cannot look at your financials once a year. You got to be looking at them monthly or quarterly. That's an example. Or, on the marketing side, does someone around you have that basic expertise or putting your system together? And so the business IQ has many components. Some you may be passionate and you may enjoy doing. others, you may have to depend on others to bring that type of expertise. And for example, I know of three farms that collaborated to hire an accountant. One of them couldn't afford, but all three could split it, and they were able to hire an accountant to get the financial data so that they were really on top of their data very, very quickly. And you know what? The other thing I think is very important on a business IQ, you ever look at a head coach? A head coach oftentimes has a number of assistant coaches, and that's called your advisory team. In other words, one of the things is you depend on some of those assistants to feed you that data. That business IQ, it's a lot of components. Some you're strong, some you associate with others.
What are some of the best low-hanging fruit resources that farmers probably are underutilizing that could help them through this period?
Well, first of all, I talked about the advisory team, where you have to work side by side with your lender and your banker. I mean, it's like our creamery. We have monthly variance analysis, quarterly variance analysis, but we meet with our lender quarterly. And that's another set of eyes on that book. And by the way, one of the most powerful business tools is your projected cash flow. And you take that projected, here's the actual, what's the deviations, what caused those deviations. It's 80% of your business plan, because what's happening is, as a head coach, you're making adjustments as those game conditions kind of change. So that's a very, very powerful, powerful tool to get you through. Another powerful tool is coming to conferences like this. And one of the things is, also remember this, your self-worth in life and your net worth in life will be correlated to the people you have around you. And so one of the things that I'm a big believer, shed the negative people, negative, you know, and having that positive mindset. I know it sounds kind of, quote, hokey, we're the Virginia Tech Hokies, but it's one of those things, it's a subtle little thing a lot of people overlook. You know, the other thing I think is real critical in these times, I often have, if I had more time, I'd do it tomorrow morning, but write down 7 words that define success. I had a group last week over in North Carolina do it. It was interesting. Not one of them put down financial.
Really?
Yeah. Oftentimes it was raising our family, giving back to the community, you know, passion for what we do. You follow where I'm coming from. Sometimes it's not the hardcore number. You got to remember, a successful business has the balance between the head and the heart. The heart's the passion. The head is the numbers. And when the head takes over too much on the numbers, it tears the heart out. When the heart takes over the emotion without the head in balance, then you're going to run into problems. And the key thing is to balance the head and the heart.
So back here in the studio with Justin, what do you think of Dr. Cole's comments? Is there anything that farmers can do nowadays to be that 5% better, something ADM offers?
Sure, I think so. You know, a couple things that stand out to me, Dr. Cole said, was transparency and personalization on the farm, as well as that cost control and better management practices, as well as sharing equipment even amongst neighbors. And that could be the 5% that makes a difference between profitable and non-profitable.
So I know a little bit about the Farm Direct Fertilizer Program ADM offers. How does that kind of sync up with what Dr. Cole was challenging farmers to do?
Sure. Well, there was a saying a long time ago that farming is the only business that buys retail and sells wholesale. Well, ADM's actually kind of changed that mentality and allow farmers to buy bulk direct. And so allowing them to be able to lock in those purchases way in advance before actually taking physical delivery of it. So that's really starting to change the game. And I think that kind of relates back to that 5%, maybe being able to do something 5% better than across the neighbors, right? So really, really changing how farmers can look ahead to the future, especially when we start looking at the margins between the inputs and the grain sales. You know, there's a seasonal trend, Holly, in grain, as a lot of people know. Well, there also is in fertilizer as well. So ADM will actually allow a producer, of course, to sell grain in those trending times, and in that same time be able to buy fertilizer for the future. So being able to lock that margin in on potentially a third of their cost of production.
That'd be similar to then getting kind of a boost on your price per bushel.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've sat with a few farmers and we've penciled that out to say, okay, we understand dollars per ton. That's easy to talk about, but what does that really, how does that really come down to the bushel level and per acre cost? And for a lot of guys, it could be anywhere on a bushel of corn, it could be anywhere from 15 to 20 cents a bushel in savings. So, you know, now all of a sudden that break even's a little lower than it was previously. And that could be the difference between making a profit and not making a profit.
Well, it can take me a little bit to get set up for spreading my own fertilizer. Is that an impediment that farmers, though, have to worry about?
So it's it definitely has an investment as far as if you're going to spread your own. And, you know, we've met with a lot of folks to figure out where does that dollar equate? Where can I justify making that investment? You know, for some of the farmers that are a little bit maybe more ahead, maybe a little larger, we figured about a 2 to 2.5 year payoff for pretty much all the equipment that you would need to start applying. But for a lot of guys that just aren't ready for that, we've looked at sharing equipment. So a lot like what Dr. Cole said about farmers kind of coming together. We've had several people where two or three farmers have gone in together to put up a hoop building to store fertilizer or buy a spreader and kind of spread that out. And then even going and doing a little bit for their neighbors to help pay for that machine. So several different ways to look at it. And we're talking to folks right now that it may be a couple of years before they're set up and ready to go. But we're definitely having that conversation right now so we can prepare for that in the future. And it may even be talking to a lender, right, to show that lender where the savings can be made by having that equipment.
Great guidance, Justin. Thanks for joining us. I would just say to our listeners, reach out to your own ADM team in your community. They've got a lot of ideas on how to get those base hits that Dr. Cole talked about. See the contact page at admadvantage.com. In May on In the Driver's Seat, we're going to hear from some producers on how they're working to consistently be a little better at small things. Don't miss the next two episodes. Meanwhile, thanks for listening and be well managing your grain operation.
This has been In the Driver's Seat, brought to you by ABM. To learn more about managing financial risk in your grain operation, talk to your local ABM representative or go to admadvantage.com.